good start, huh, Steve?
I am. I just got richer.
Okay, what happened? My mic. I'm so mad. Yeah. Hold on, I have to yell for a minute.
Okay, yeah, that's been a thing this morning, Donna.
Oh, my God.
Because Colleen was filling in for Alexis this morning, and she was having some issues with it. You could see she was playing around with it.
Every time I just fix it, like, see, watch
what
it.
Happened? It's just,
what,
sort of
it's just moving.
Yeah.
Look
around.
At it, just went.
You know what? Let's try to make some more money before the end of the show.
Well, okay, here's how we
let me scream one more time.
Okay, great. Steve, I want to hear about your money-making opportunity.
Yes. This is for all of us.
This is for all the timeshare?
Kind of like a cryptocurrency version of it, sure.
Oh, great.
I am not a financial analyst, but, you know, what was it? Like, over a year ago, gosh, it was probably like 18 months ago now, that I said, you know what? I'm going to put some money together, and I'm just going to put $1,000 into, like, 10 different cryptocurrencies.
Must be nice.
Sorry. So then I watched all of it go down from like $1,000 down to like $500. I got in when it was low, and then newsflash, it could go even lower.
Okay, so you're just leaving it there.
And I just left it there. And then, I don't know, started making some money on it. You know, crypto, Bitcoin's been going up. You've been hearing about that. And but I have a predicament, so I need your assistance here. I put a bunch of my money. I consolidate all these other crappy things that didn't do well. And I pretty much put like all of it into Dogecoin, that stupid coin that isn't an actual coin, but it is some version of cryptocurrency. Elon Musk would always, like, you know, tweet out, like, here's a picture of the Doge dog, and then it would take off. So I was like, sure, I'm just going to play around. I'm going to consolidate.
Okay.
I go on a Twitter this morning. Hashtag Dogecoin is trending.
Stop, really?
At least on my trending. They know my interest. And I look in I think what ended up getting up to $1,100. It's now $2,400.
Wow.
Now wait a minute.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Good for you.
It's taken a very long time. You know, it's been like 18 months, but here's my point. Here's the problem. Here's what I don't understand. And I watched the GameStop documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the GameStop movie, which I thought was very well done. I enjoyed that. When do you get out? When do you take your money out? Because if you watch the GameStop movie and you take it out too early, you lose out on a bunch of money. Do you remember? We had a caller who called in and said, I did sort of a stock thing with our class.
Yes, I do.
And
yes.
I put some money in GameStop.
Yes.
And then the class, you know, ran its course. And at the end of the semester, we're like, okay, here's what it is now. Forgot about it for like a year.
Yeah.
And then her son called her one day and was like, Mom, do you still have stock in GameStop? And she said, yes. And she opens it up. And the amount that she had put in had now ballooned into like $10,000.
Wow.
That was her money all along. She was just doing it for visual purposes of here's what happens when you invest $100 in a stock.
Oh, my gosh.
And then it went up. But had it gone up to, let's say, $300, she would have been like, well, that's a 200% return.
Right.
Do I take it out now? So I don't know.
I don't know either. I think it just depends on where you are. And do you need the money? You know, if you were hoping to make some money for a purpose, like for a car.
Yeah,
or a vacation.
Donna, we're so in sync. Blimp. If you want a blimp. Finally. Boy, you don't see a lot of blimps anymore.
You sure don't.
Oh, my goodness. What a tragedy.
Besides the Goodyear, tell me a blimp that you see.
None.
It'd be nice to see a blimp.
Yeah, like, I don't know, a Papa John's blimp.
Okay, sure. We could do that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Minnesota Twins blimp.
Sure, give me a Twins blimp. I'd like to be up in a blimp. Here's my question with a blimp, though.
Sure, we can make that happen for you, Steve.
Oh, my God. Any blimp drivers, we could call out blimp drivers.
Oh, look, we should do bring back Fridays. Who's listening? Blimp operators.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll do that.
Uh-huh.
I just wonder, though, if someone shot a dart at it, could you pop the balloon and die? You know what I mean?
Oh, great question.
How many holes would have to be? If a goose with a harsh beak flies into it, could it pop it and it goes down? Or is it so Is it? I don't know.
Oh yeah, like if a goose runs into it when you're flying, is that just going to be? Right.
And I doubt Solly's operating blimps now, so it's not like we're going to have someone. You just plummet to the ground. I think. What the?
Wow. Why'd you go there?
Yeah, we went dark.
In 2021, Reader's Digest, ever heard of it?
Oh, sure.
Wait, let me get mine out. Hold on, I probably have one.
Here comes a digest drop, everybody.
All right, here's...
What year is it from?
This one is 1989.
Okay.
Good year for Reader's Digest, right?
Great year for...
Anyway, they said that the consensus is that there are about 25 blimps still in existence, and only about half of them are still in use.
That's it?
For advertising purposes.
Whoa, so there's only like 12 working blimps.
It's like the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile.
Well, those things are around everywhere, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought there were few and far between.
Oh, there was one that just pulled up through Minnesota about a month ago. Alexis harassed them and got a tour inside.
Did she get inside?
She sure did.
Amazing.
It's pretty cool inside.
Okay.
And it's like a college intern who drives that thing. By the way, I would give, if you come alongside the Wiener Mobile, I'd give a few car lengths distance between you and them.
Because
that's just Jimmy, who's, you know, trying to make money during the summer.
You're right. That's a good tip. Passenger blimps could be making a comeback, and here's why. This was an article in the Wall Street Journal from September of 2022. I'm not going to read it while we're on the air, but you can Google it.
That's where you and I differ. Sit down, everyone. It's story time.
Let's see.
Very interesting.
Well, the next, where the Goodyear blimp is next, it is going to be flying over Hilton Head Island, South Carolina.
Oh, beautiful.
April 20th through the 21st for the PGA RBC Heritage thing.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. Neat.
All right, let's take a break.
We have to take a break already?
Yeah, it's that time of the show.
What happened?
You know what? I'm going to switch things up because I remembered something on my drive in this morning that I forgot to put in. Yesterday, I listened to a podcast about Temu, all about how it started, why it's working so well, and why people in the government are trying to get it shut down, essentially.
Okay.
More or less.
I would very much like to hear this.
I learned a few key things about it that I didn't know before. So we'll get into a little Temu talk when we come back. It's Dawn and Steve on My Talk. Hey, friends. What's up? It's Steve for Hoffman Weber Construction. You know, there are a lot of great things that you should know about Hoffman Weber Construction. First and foremost, that they're local, that they've been here. You know, they live and they work in our communities. For more than 30 years, that's been the case. Something else that's really cool about Hoffman Weber, they have a very a great reputation for low employee turnover, which in the world of contracting and remodeling, things like that, that's pretty rare. And that means that the homeowner is going to receive expertise from remodeling consultants that have years of dedicated experience, which is really cool. Oh, by the way, Hoffman Weber now serving Cabin Country as well. They've got a location up in Brainerd Lakes area. So if it's time for the new roof, you need a glow up, maybe some new siding, new door, new windows, you've got a name that you need to consider, and that is Hoffman Weber Construction. Check them out, hwconstruction.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Thanks for listening. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, where talk is fun and my mic is broke. Thank you.
Broken.
Broken.
You would either say, thanks, my mic broke.
Thanks, Dad.
Or my mic is broken.
Wow, my mic is broke. Great mansplation. I know, thank you.
No, there's the grammar police. Where's the grammar police
button? They're not here
today. That used to save me from
they're off duty.
Mansplaining.
Okay, things. Well, if I had to count how many times you say less instead of few.
And if
less
I had
than
to count how many
fewer?
Times you bring that up on the air, I think we'd both be doing pretty well. Don't
that's
you think?
Fair.
Oh. Holly!
Fight about a dad fight. Right. Now what are you doing?
I need to look up a word that I just learned, that I just got mansplained yesterday.
Is it few?
No. Golly.
All right. We're all going to sit here while Steve types.
I'm going to go without the word for right now.
Okay.
Oh, man, it started with a D. Schnikes. Okay.
Dog.
Let's go through D words that we know. Who knows other D words? Okay, so I was listening to Planet Money. Look, we get it. You guys know there are other podcasts. You don't think we're the only option out there. Stay with us. But if you need to sprinkle in and diversify a little bit and add a little garnish to your plate.
I only listen to us.
Planet Money is a good podcast I've listened to for years. Best part is that rarely is an episode ever over 30 minutes.
Okay, like that.
So they're just like, here's our topic today. And boom, here we go. And they do a nice job of storytelling, getting different interviews. I like that. I like that podcast, Planet Money. So they had one all about Temu. And I was like, I got to listen to this. So I listened to it yesterday when I'm driving home from somewhere. It sounds interesting, doesn't it? Where was the somewhere? You'll never know.
Not really.
All right. And so they started talking about what it was. You know, it only really got moving about midway through 2022. So the fact that it is as huge as it is now is really insane. Like big enough to, a couple years in a row, have Super Bowl commercials. The Temu, and then we were like, wait, is it Temu? And we'll get to that. But they were trying to figure out what was going on. So there was a parent company that functioned essentially in the same way in Greater Asia. And then they sort of branched out into, oh, we could do this in other parts of the world as well. And so then they start the Temu arm, which is essentially operating in the same way that its parent company of a different name that I forget operated over in China. Xi Jinping. And so with that, we watch it grow. And it obviously, it's very low cost items. If you haven't been on Temu, very low cost item. That's why their tagline is shop like a billionaire. Because you can get so many things because they're all dirt cheap. And there's a reason why they're dirt cheap. But it might not be primarily the reason that you're thinking.
What is it?
You're thinking forced labor?
Yes, I think they're stealing designers' designs.
Okay.
And taking away from their, you know, dollar.
They address that to some extent in this episode. But that was not like a primary, after their deep dive into Temu, that was not a primary bad thing.
They're underpaying the people who are making, let's say, clothing, for example.
Sure.
They expect a lot in a big hurry, and they're not making it worth their while. So I don't know why they continue to do it. I think there's some shady business going on.
Some forced labor issues and concerns over... you know, kind of like sweatshop environments, like, and are children working that they ought not be at that age, all sorts of stuff like that. And again, I thought they were going to go really heavy into that, but apparently their deep dive did not lead them to believe that, oh, by the way, the place that you're buying anything from, it's all pretty much from forced labor or sweatshops or anything like that. There are some of that, and that stuff like is getting looked into, but not... It's not always that case. What I learned was Temu did something kind of crazy. And they convinced the guy who's behind Temu, who people know almost nothing about, including like the Chinese media, they don't know if he's married.
Right.
He used to work at Google, but he lives like a very reclusive sort of a life now. He is not trying to become a star. He wrote this business thesis years ago. And it essentially is what he has implemented at Temu. And he goes after something that is very difficult to convince people of, but clearly it's worked in the world of two-day or same-day delivery. He said, if we could just convince people to wait a week or maybe 2 weeks to get their materials, their goods, we can keep prices really low. So here's one of the ways. And if look into the child labor stuff. It's worth looking into sweatshop, forced labor, all that. Look into the copyright knockoffs, all that. Those are worthy to still be looked into. But here's another thing I didn't know. They have a deal with manufacturers. A major problem for manufacturers and why their prices go up is because of inventory. So you have to predict how many people will buy a thing you've made before you've even introduced it into the market.
Yes.
And so you either, there are two problems there. One is you don't have enough inventory.
Right.
People loved it. You leave tons of money on the table because more people want to buy it and you can't give it to them. A common Shark Tank problem. Another problem, you buy a ton of stuff. People don't love the product. Now you've just got inventory that you had to pay to get manufactured, to get made. So now you got all that money over there and you can't move any of the product. So you're going to take a big cut on that. What they do with their manufacturers is different. They wait for orders to come in.
Yes.
And then they go to the manufacturer and they say, hey, that dog chain, turns out we do have 200 people who now ordered it, make 200 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Almost erasing the inventory problem for these individual manufacturers because now they don't have to guess. There are hard and fast money in the bank orders that are in, and they have conditioned the customers to just wait a little while.
Right.
And on top of that, what the government has issue with, members of the United States government, is that there is a tariff rule, and this tariff loophole, this trade loophole, and I'm forgetting the name of it. It starts with a D. And
that's the word you were looking for?
Yeah, I couldn't find
it. I'll find it for him.
But what it means is items shipped in up to $800 do not have to have any sort of foreign tax on them. There are no customs processes or anything like that. They just get to come in. And that used to be a threshold of about like $2 way back when it started. And then it got bumped up to 50. And then with inflation, now it's up at 200. And then more recently, they bumped it up to 800 because they said it's just not worth government workers' time. So let's keep it at 800 and below. We don't need to know what's in the package.
I think it's called Diminis or something like that.
It is called Diminis. Yes.
Is it Diminis?
It is Diminis. I was thinking Dingus.
Diminimis.
Diminimis is even better. That's it.
The 800 Diminimis rule.
And so that's a loophole.
Interesting.
That is why there are other companies like H&M that pay like $200 million a year in these tariff fees and these importing fees.
Right.
Temu, because of the de minimis loophole, pays no tax. They don't have to pay any of those fees because generally people purchase under $800. And that's why you get one big package all together that has no label. It doesn't say there's a mug in here, a shirt.
Yeah.
There's no categorization that it needs to do because of this loophole, which is another way that they can pass products onto you at a very low price. While other companies are like, wait, we're shipping stuff in too, and we're getting taxed $200 million a year. This ain't cool.
Right.
So there's a loophole here. There's a conditioning of people's patience when purchasing something. And there are also other questions for some sectors of it of like, what's going on with the labor practices here?
There's a really good documentary. I can't remember where I watched it. Probably Netflix. And it's on Shein, which is just like Temu. So if you want to check that out. All right, we'll be back.
Bye.
Bye now.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Are you going to say everything I say? I can't find our grid. I'm a disaster today.
No, you're not. Oh, you are. No. You are you. You are a modern day queen of hearts.
Okay. I have no idea what we're supposed to be doing here. That's my point. Because I can't get to my computer screen.
Oh, I'm getting emails. I was like, Teresa's. You ever forget what you talked about 20 minutes ago?
Never.
Teresa sends an email. Steve, take it out when you're ahead, or take half out. Oh. It's going to drop again, and you aren't losing anything if you take it out when you're ahead. I forgot. She's talking about Dogecoin.
Yes.
Dogecoin! Shiba Inu! Aaron sends in an email. Blimps are great, but passenger blimps, Hindenburg is why it doesn't work so swell.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you get a big blimp disaster.
That's all it takes.
I guess.
Is the one.
Oh my gosh, there's that movie, Black Sunday.
Is that
from back in the day?
The blimp?
I'd
like to see that.
Oh, it's about the Super Bowl in the 1970s, and people want to attack the Super Bowl, and they use a giant blimp to do it.
No.
Okay, I don't want to see that.
I'm mildly interested.
Oh, yeah, it stars Robert Shaw. Lord Dern's father, Bruce Dern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could probably find it somewhere streaming.
Okay.
Gina Williams sends in an email. Listening to you while in Arizona. Hi,
hey,
Gina.
Girl.
Question, and she asked this on behalf of many a My Talker. How did the Lewis Capaldi bumper music get slipped back into the rotation?
Good question, Gina.
Is it an early April Fool's joke? Holly, you know powerful people in this place who put bumper music together. Do you know anything about this?
I know absolutely nothing about this. I haven't heard it play.
Oh, it's played during our show yesterday. Oh. I think maybe the last 2 days.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know anything about that. And also, I'm adamantly against pre-gaming April Fool's Day.
I don't think
that's cool. You got to save it for April 1st and April 1st only.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
I agree.
That's right.
Are you done with emails?
The next one says, is Steve talking about snooze?
What?
I don't know. Guys, we don't remember.
Yeah, you got to give us context.
Stuff, all right? What do you want to talk about?
We didn't get to the story yesterday, but I wanted to get your take on it. Did you see the Whoopi Goldberg story?
I did. I watched the video too, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's, you know, having a conversation with the other ladies of The View, and I guess she stands up, walks off the stage, and reprimands an audience member for filming the show on his phone. And she said, "Sir, I have to stop you with the camera because I can see you. So do me a favor, don't pull it out again. I'd appreciate that. Thank you." And then she went back over, I guess, to the table.
Yeah, she goes back to the table, and Joy's like, "What was happening?" They were like, "Oh, he was recording."
Now, you have often said that at concerts, you're like, you know what? This is where we are in the world. People record, blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts on that?
I think they're different on that.
Okay.
It feels like a little bit of a different protocol.
I think she was making a point, a political point or something, and they wanted to get it on video, probably to use it later.
Sure.
In social media. And I believe that there are rules when you go to The View.
Yeah.
Set.
For any television show, they don't want you recording while there is recording. Some of them have more lenient policies during commercial breaks. You can pull out your phone and, you know, take some pictures or video of like, oh my gosh, we're here on set. But while, you know, when the red light is on, they don't want other red lights on. I kind of understood where Whoopi was coming from there. And she walked over to the side of the stage. She was cool about it. But you could tell it was in her line of sight of this guy probably holding up his iPad or his phone. And, you know, that gets a little distracting. It's like, dude, the comment, don't worry, someone else is recording it.
Right.
You can distribute this if you want later. Like, we're on television right now. So I kind of got that. Usually that's a free ticket too. And they have like a policy of that going in. So I feel differently about it than I do the concert things where I'm like, these people.
Yeah, but they have policies too, though.
Some of them do. They don't all. I don't think all of the entertainers who have said, put your phone away, I'm up here, just take in the moment. I don't think all of those situations have been no phones out during the show.
Okay.
When's the last show that we were at? And you and I go to a lot of country concerts together.
I know.
Where they said, no phones,
I think it's
photo,
on the
video.
Ticket. Like, I don't even know if it's video, but, you know, there used flash to be no flash photography kind of
which
thing.
Which I understand that.
Huh.
Because of the actual visual, like, you know, boom, poof, light.
Right, distraction.
That would cause. I don't think concerts say no, though. By and large, I think it's by special request of an individual performer.
I will look into that.
I can't wait to see how deeply you look into it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She got irritated again, though.
Oh, she did?
So she went back to the table, and I guess producers wanted to cut her off. They had wanted Sunny, how do you say her name? Hostin?
Yeah.
Sunny Hostin. Excuse me, to read a legal notice. And Whoopi was like, I'm going to get to it. My God, guys, I'm going to get to her. May I finish my point? It's almost like, what do you call it when you break the third wall kind of thing?
Fourth wall.
Yeah. Okay. So there's four walls. Yeah. It feels a little bit like that. A little unprofessional to me.
Sure. I mean, it was sort of a weird moment. But yeah, I was like, okay, you know, look, I'm always on the side of you can usually dial it down a little bit, but I didn't think it was... I wouldn't file it under inappropriate behavior on Whoopi's part. She was cool about it, too. You know?
Okay.
She was like, sir, I would appreciate you can put the phone away. I would appreciate that. Thank you. You know, it's kind of like when a teacher doesn't have to yell. They just have a different way of getting somebody's attention. Oh, hi, Donna.
Hi, sorry. I had a...
Do you want me to bring you in VapoRub?
Yes.
When's the last time you had VapoRub on any part of your body?
Not that long ago.
Did you put it on your chest or your feet?
Oh, I never did the feet thing. I put it under my nose.
Yeah, I do that too. Then you're just like, I mean, your eyes are like stinging all night, but you're breathing in that sweet, sweet menthol.
Yeah, I love it.
Just to breathe again.
I love it.
I sleep with Breathe Right strips a lot. No matter the situation, I'm always a little stuffy.
I'm so happy for you. I'm trying to get a refill on two over-the-counter prescriptions, which I didn't know were over-the-counter, and they're denying me unless I have an appointment. I'm like, you know what? I'll just go get it myself. Bye.
I feel like what you said is an oxymoron. An over-the-counter prescription. Doesn't an over-the-counter medication mean it's available to you without interacting with a pharmacist?
Oh, these are great questions.
Thank you, Donna.
You could be prescribed something over-the-counter, and then your insurance covers it.
Oh, you're looking for the car.
You damn right I am,
so
Steve.
It's like you could just buy the Flonase, but you'd rather go on your HSA deductible.
You damn right.
Understood. Hey.
But there's another one, too, and I don't know. Why are we talking about this? Oh, because I had a allergy season.
Sports talk!
Yeah, here we go.
Fair warning. Caitlin Clark has really, really done something significant in the world of women's college basketball.
Yes. So cool.
People have paid attention to women's college basketball before, to be sure. Never like they have here. The fact that they are, in fact, tickets to her game, like first and second round games of the women's tournament, were more expensive than tickets to, like, go sit in an arena for the whole day men's tournament.
Oh my gosh. Good for her. Good for them.
She is such a draw. It's her way of playing. She is a prolific point scorer. She shoots deep threes. She's got swagger, confidence. But when you hear her in an interview, she's very sweet and grounded. There's a lot to love about Caitlin Clark. She's got some rivals in the world of women's college basketball as well. So it's setting up for some excitement in the tournament. People have been lined up, like long lines outside of these arenas just to get in to see her play. So she's really a phenom in what she is doing in women's college basketball. I don't think in my life I've ever seen a female college basketball player have such an impact on her sport in the way that Caitlin Clark has. Now, an interesting offer made to her. She has been offered by Ice Cube. Ever heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
He's offered her $5 million to play against guys in his Big Three Basketball League. Here's what the Big Three Basketball League is. He set it up a few years ago. It's only 8 regular season games, up to 10 if you go into the playoffs and then win the championship. So it's a small little league. It's 3-on-3 basketball.
Oh, okay.
The deal would still allow her to play in the WNBA. She is, of course, presumed to be the number one overall pick. And it would just give her... They're doing it not to say, can you hang with the guys? They're doing it saying, oh, we know. We know you can hang with the guys. Mm-hmm. We want a big splashy name in our league. And it's you, Caitlin Clark. You would be that big splashy name. She would get $5 million to play these up to 10 games.
Is she allowed to do that, though? If she's still playing college?
Yeah, they look into like the collective bargaining agreement allows you to do it. If you're in the WNBA, like you can play in overseas to make more money. There's an alternate season.
Okay.
She is still in college. This would happen after her collegiate athletic career is wrapped up. So there wouldn't be any issue with that. Caitlin has not yet responded, but Ice Cube's like, hey, she is a generational athlete who can achieve tremendous success in the Big Three. With our offer, she can make history and break down even more barriers for women athletes. That's a quote from Ice Cube. For money comparison, Donna, listen to this. The highest paid player in the WNBA last year was Jewel Lloyd, who had a salary of $600,000.
Oh my God, they're so underpaid.
If Caitlin goes first in the draft, which is expected, her rookie deal will only be $76,000.
Oh, what?
$76,000.
No.
Yes.
How is, what?
Well, I think this has to do, I'm sure there's a much more sophisticated person who could break down the conversation that I was surprised to see that the numbers are that low. But in terms of revenue generated, the NBA versus the WNBA is nowhere close.
I know. Of course. You need to have the audience.
Yes. And that's a lot of WNBA games. I mean, you got legit athletes out there who are doing some really great things, but they've struggled to get butts in seats. You know, you want the sellout crowds, and they have a tough time doing that. Caitlin Clark is going to change that. She is going to impact the attendance wherever she plays. It's going to be great. And there are some other really awesome female athletes that are coming up out of college in the next couple of years. So maybe we'll see that start to turn. But if I'm Caitlin Clark, I am taking this deal without blinking.
I wonder if that deal will get her a better offer from the WNBA.
No, I think there's actually a stipulation, like rookie contracts are set.
Okay.
At a certain amount.
God, girl, take the money and go.
Now, if she gets paid 76 grand her rookie year, which just seems silly low.
It does.
Even if the attendance isn't there, even if the revenue is low, it just seems silly low for someone like her. Rest assured, she will make
endorsement money.
In endorsements. I mean, people must be, brands have got to be lined up to work with her.
Yeah.
But anyway, kind of a cool moment. So we'll see what Caitlin Clark has to say. Meanwhile, woo-hoo, she is she's knee deep heading into the third round of the women's NCAA basketball tournament.
All right. We got to take a break again. When we come back, Kenan Thompson addressing Quiet on the Set, that documentary that you and I both watched, at least the first 4 episodes. Very interested to hear what he says. And then 50 Cent, as in 50 Cent, his ex was allegedly involved with that whole Diddy sex trafficking thing.
Oh, boy.
We'll tell you about that when we come right back on My Talk 107.1. Hi, Donna here for Blaze Credit Union. A full-service financial institution. And they can help people with any type of financial product or service at any stage of life. They're all about service. They've got totally free checking. And I love this deal. You deposit $100 into a free checking account, they're going to give you back $150. That is amazing. That is a minimum deposit, by the way, that is required. Blaze Credit Union is driven by Midwestern values, you know, things like community and integrity and just plain old hard work. Their values are more than words on a plaque. They care about you, your wishes, your well-being. And that is where the name Blaze comes from. Steve is a member. I'm a member. Again, they've got loans for any purpose. They've got 26 branches. You could find one near you. All you have to do is go to blaze.com. NCU.com. And Blaze is insured by NCUA, an equal housing opportunity lender. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment. We saw things, we're going to say things.
Hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh?
Time for If You See Something, Say Something with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
Hey, hey. Let me start with this. We both watched episodes 1 through 4 of Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. A fifth episode, we found out, will be coming out next month.
Mm-hmm.
This is the story of essentially Nickelodeon television in the late 90s through the first decade of the 2000s, maybe even a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, a tough watch. It's a tough watch. Dan Schneider is at the center of it. He was the showrunner, the show creator of a lot of different successful Nickelodeon shows. He was not the worst offender, mm-hmm. though. I mean, there were two convicted child molesters and child predators who were on these sets.
Brian Peck was the another person who served time eventually.
And was it Michael Handy was the name of the other guy, I feel like?
I cannot remember
his last
name.
Was Handy. That's what I remember. And they did some really, really, were convicted of doing some very awful things. And like what they found at the home of that Handy guy.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Just really, really
bad stuff.
Horrible stuff. So there are a bunch of names that were, that also came up. You know, Kenan Thompson, SNL long-timer, longest tenured cast member ever mm-hmm. in the history of SNL. He's been there for more than 2 decades. Well, he started on All That, and which was sort of a kid's version of a sketch comedy show, similar to SNL. Well, he was on Tamron Hall. He's seen a lot in the documentary because he was on Kenan and Cal and All That.
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up talking about his experience now that obviously the documentary's out. Everybody's got their take on it. And he said, look, it's tough. It's a tough subject. It's tough for me because I can't really speak on things that I never witnessed. You know what I'm saying? Because all these things happened after I left, basically. He continued, Dan Schneider. Dan wasn't really on Kenan and Kel like that. I mean, he got a created by credit, but it was a different showrunner. So our worlds weren't really overlapping like that outside of All That necessarily. Mm-hmm. And then all of that negativity kind of started happening outside of our tenure there. So I wasn't really aware of a lot of it.
Okay.
He goes on to say, this is Kenan Thompson talking to Tamron Hall. My heart goes out to anybody that's been victimized or their families. I think it's a good thing that the documentary is out and it's putting things on display, stories that need to be told for accountability's sake. But it's definitely tough to watch because I have fond memories of that place and I have fond memories of my co-stars and stuff like that. So to hear that they've gone through terrible things like that is really tough. And Kenan Thompson added, investigate more. It's supposed to be a safe place for kids.
Yep.
And to hear all about that, it's just like, how dare you? So those are Kenan Thompson. And I bet there is more investigation probably actively happening right now that will go into that fifth installment of Quiet on the Set. Mm-hmm. Or Quiet on Set. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, it's on Max. And
it's really well done.
It is very well done.
Yeah.
Very well put together.
When did we say that fifth episode's coming out? In May?
Or? I thought it was April something.
Yep, you're right. Okay, here's the deal. This whole story with Diddy. You know, Diddy and 50 Cent have had this beef going on, I guess, for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of been trolling Diddy, especially since the feds raided his, you know, home. And you know, 50 Cent, one thing he said was, they don't get Homeland Security to invade, you know, to come to your home, invade your home and take your computers if they don't have a case. Good point. Well, now, 50 Cent's ex, Daphne Joy, was named in this lawsuit against Sean Diddy Combs. The lawsuit is by Rodney Lil Rod Jones, who I guess was a producer, brought this whole thing to light. According to court documents, this is coming from Page Six, this ex of 50 Cent's was an OnlyFans model, and she is now being accused of being a sex worker involved in the alleged sex trafficking ring. So she was, according to Diddy, or according to this lawsuit, Diddy bragged that this woman was being paid a monthly stipend for her sex work. 50 Cent has a child with this woman. They are no longer together, but it's just every day another layer is peeled back on this story.
Now, notably, since the raid, you know, there have been, according to TMZ, no travel bans placed on P. Diddy. He hasn't been arrested. So I don't know what the normal turnaround time is for the feds raid your home to them sifting through all the stuff and then determining if they have a case. But
right.
I gotta think Diddy is not sleeping well these days.
Right, right. And he's not going to be arrested until they have all the evidence that they need. So, God, I just cannot believe.
But they say he didn't know. He had no prior intel that they were
going to do this.
There was, you know, some people wondering, well, why wasn't he at the houses? Did he get tipped off somehow? And he was on his way to spring break with his kids whenever he got stopped at the Miami airport.
See, and I thought he was waiting for the drug trafficking guy to come in at the airport.
I think he was just on the plane with him.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Listen, guys, we don't know anything that we say to you. And we just want to remind you, this feels like a good time to remind you that largely much of what we say isn't based on fact.
Well, we're not journalists.
We're opinionists. It's like, listen, as we start to celebrate the long legacy of Lori and Julia, they didn't fly their flag on being factually right about everything. It's about being fun, entertaining, trying to figure out name pronunciations and were they in that movie or no, they were an author instead. This is the joy of discovery. Yeah. Right, Donna?
Yeah, absolutely. Be a part of the discussion.
It's in their honor that I free us to get factually incorrect sometimes. In fact, today I was thinking of our friend Marjorie Punnett, who was on a couple weeks ago.
Yes, lovely.
And we told the story of Ian waiting in the parking lot to hear the show open music.
It's insane.
In order to walk in. He loved that rush of adrenaline. Like, I'm in the car and my show's already started. And now I'll walk in, crack the mic. Good morning, everybody. Just got in. And any time that I'm pushing it, I think, as Marjorie freed me to say, hashtag in his honor. Doing this for Ian.
Great. She created a monster. Awesome. And park in the correct parking space.
I am parked with the rest of you.
Yeah, because you're today. Not late today. You Thank park you. There whenever you're late.
Whenever I feel like I'm pushing it. I got in a snowstorm.
I'm identifying you.
Bring in our stepson. Mike's coming in next. Thank you, Holly. Hey friends, it's Steve. You know, the season is changing and now is the time to begin planning your winter adventures here in Minnesota. From dog sledding across a frozen lake to dining in an igloo, winter can be magical in Minnesota. So start planning your winter getaway and visit one of the world's largest malls or catch a touring Broadway production. Get your free monthly travel e-newsletter and start planning your dream trip or browse through endless events and activities happening throughout the entire state by visiting exploreminnesota.com.